This morning, our service is going in a different direction. It's starting out differently. We're going to worship with the Word. And I don't know what will happen. We may sing after that. We may not. But whatever, we're going to do what God wants us to do this morning. Something took place Wednesday night at our prayer meeting that is very significant for the Fellowship of Life. And so we want to give you kind of a capsule version of it and some things that God showed me to share with you regarding our church and what we're to do beginning tomorrow. So the preliminary part of this is very important because God gave it to Brenda. So she's going to come up and share the initial part of what God gave her for Wednesday. And then I'm going to follow up afterwards with the things that the Lord showed us. Okay? Brenda?
Lord, you know, my only desire is to speak what you have me to speak. And so at this moment, I just ask for your grace on this. I ask for the ears to be open to hear, to listen, and to take heed to the truth that you have me to share. It's only by your anointing, it's only by your grace and your power. It's only by those things, Lord, that reaches the hearts of your people, that they can take it in with all seriousness and they can make application in their life immediately. Thank you, Lord. Wednesday night, we were considering revival and particularly, you know, within our own hearts and within our families, the prodigals of the church, the prodigals of our families. And I was reflecting on the story of Jonah earlier that day, who heeded the word of God, and a whole city was saved. A whole city. It was a great city. It says in that book of Jonah that Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, and it took 3 days for Jonah to journey through. And when I studied it a little bit more, I learned that it was about 20 miles a day that he traveled to get from one end to the other end, proclaiming what the Lord had him to proclaim. So there's a few key points that I just want to bring out to you in that story. Just to remind you, Jonah was a great prophet. He was a prophet fleeing from the presence of the Lord because the Lord said, I need you to go and preach to Nineveh. Preach to them. Preach against their wickedness. And immediately, he didn't want to do that. And so, as a prophet, if you can understand this, there's an anointing on a prophet. The anointing carries power. And he thought he could run away from that power of God that was on him, that anointing that was on him, get on a boat, and flee his presence. So he gets on a boat in the opposite direction of where he's supposed to go, and he flees, and the boat is headed to Tarshish. Now, if anybody knows anything about the weather and boaters, you look at the weather, and you either say, yes, I'm going to set sail, or no, I'm not going to set sail. Look at the weather. So they looked at the clouds, and even when Jesus constrained the disciples to cross over to the other side, during that time when Peter walked on the water, he constrained them to get in the boat and cross over. And those mariners, they looked at the weather and they said, that's the last thing we want to do. But they were obedient and did it. So not to get off on that tangent, but Jonah gets on a boat, the mariners go, and all of a sudden, the Lord sets in motion a great hurricane. A great hurricane. No mariner would go out looking at the weather if there was an impeding hurricane. They knew what the clouds looked like and what the weather looked like. They were very seasoned in that kind of stuff. So there was nothing to say that there was a hurricane on the horizon. So they set out, and then a hurricane comes. It was the Lord that sent the hurricane. And the mariners, they start throwing their stuff overboard, and they start pleading to their own gods. It wasn't the God of heaven and earth. It was their own gods, their idols. And they start throwing stuff overboard, thinking that they can make the boat lighter. And in the meantime, they realize, gee, Jonah hasn't thrown anything overboard. He hasn't called out to his God. And they ask him, why haven't you called out to your God? And because they discovered that their own crying out was futile. Nothing changed. The hurricane was still going and their ship was breaking. So they cast lots to see who caused that evil to come on them. And it all points to Jonah. He's the one that got the short end of the stick. And Jonah says, he declares to them, I worship the God of heaven, the God who created the land and the sea, and that he was running from the presence of God. So he told him exactly that. And then the mariner said, well, what do we do? And he suggested, well, throw me overboard, because his disobedience caused the hurricane. Now, they didn't throw him overboard immediately. After I was looking at the scripture closely, they actually wanted to extend their own mercy on him, and they tried to get back to dry land. But the hurricane did not stop, and something happened. They realized that Jonah's God, the God of heaven and earth, the one who created the land and dry sea, was the true God. So they recognized a mercy that was there. They cried out, not to their own God, but they cried out to the Lord God Almighty for mercy. They said, have mercy on us. We're going to throw Jonah overboard in hopes that you're going to stop this hurricane. Let us not perish. We will sacrifice Jonah's life. They are crying out to the Lord God Almighty, not to their own God. So then they threw him overboard, and the sea stopped raging. And you know what happened? Those mariners feared the Lord. They turned and feared the Lord. See, God will give us opportunity time and time again, an opportunity to be turned. So, of course, the Lord sends a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Here's Jonah's second opportunity. The Lord was not letting him go. Do you remember that time that Jake was chasing around Aleah? Jake representing the Spirit, the Holy Spirit chasing after us always, that he's always on our coattails. That's the God that we serve. He always gives us opportunity. So here's Jonah's second opportunity. He got swallowed up by a fish. The Lord sent that great fish. And Jonah said, you've cast me out of sight, yet I will look toward the holy temple. So now he's sitting in this great fish 3 days, and he's being repentive. His heart is now turned again towards his God. And he says, I will look toward the holy temple. Do you know what the holy temple offers? Mercy. That's where you will find mercy. It's in that holy place. So he knew that he was without mercy, running from God. So now he makes a vow and to make amends, and he proclaims his last proclamation was, salvation is of the Lord. So he makes that proclamation. The Lord sees that he has now turned again towards him, and he tells that great fish to spit him out on dry land. And that's what happens. Salvation is that deliverance, that rescue, and that victory. And he spits him out on dry land. Jonah has now turned back to the Lord. So again, he's out on dry land, and the Lord says to him again, go preach to Nineveh. Tell them of their wickedness and that they will be overthrown in 40 days. So he goes and he makes his 3 days journey. And do you know what happened? As a prophet, he's walking through that great city with power and anointing. He's operating under the mercy that he just experienced, and he is so full of hope. And he's offering that. All of that exudes from him. Do you realize that when you walk under the power of God, all of that character is on you? So all of that power was on Jonah. He told them what was going to happen. And the first thing that happened was that they believed. There's an opportunity for people to turn when you go and you're obedient and you go under that power and anointing of the Holy Ghost. People will believe. They will believe. I was thinking about Pastor shared on Wednesday where he was in a your barbershop, and he was being asked questions about the Lord. People will ask you questions. There's going to be opportunity that will be before you where people are going to ask you questions about the Lord. And the whole room will hear. The whole room will hear. So the first thing that people did in Nineveh is that they believed. And then they repented and fasted. A great fast was proclaimed by the king there. So in that event, the Lord did not bring calamity to Nineveh. Their hearts were turned. The whole city was saved. The whole city. We can save cities. We can save families. We can save nations. Just because we are being obedient, proclaiming the word of the Lord. We have to open our mouth to do that. So, Jonah's anointing, he had that great presence of God on him. That holy temple where mercy exists is within you. It's within you. And if you allow it to come out, people are going to recognize the mercy. They're going to recognize the hope. And they're going to be turned. You know, Jonah did not, even after all of that, he was still mad. He you know, he was in his own place being rebellious. And ultimately, even after he saw the city turned, he didn't really want their salvation personally. He kind of threw a hissy fit and went and sat on a mountain hoping that God would actually bring the calamity. And we might all be in that place, but we'll have opportunity again to turn back to the Lord. So let me have you finish up. I think that'll be good.
Amen. So our prayer meeting started out last Wednesday with Brenda sharing on Jonah. Before I go any further, last Sunday I taught, actually I declared what God had told me to share. When I went into my study last Sunday morning and going over my notes, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, "Listen to me." And as a result of that word, I shared last week on listening to God. And the Lord said to me to tell you there are many voices that are speaking and there are many things that are being said. But it's the most important thing for you to listen to him when he speaks to us. Some years ago when I was on a sabbatical, in the quiet time that I had, I couldn't help but think that I was not fulfilling my call and wondering what others were doing, other leaders in churches, and feeling as though my lack of being present with the congregation and fulfilling my call was in some ways causing me to feel left out or missing something. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, when I asked him about, well, what about what they're doing and what about this? He said to me, "What's that to you? You follow me." You know where that scripture comes from? Do you? It's in John. Look it up. Right now, there's a lot of voices pulling the church in many different ways. A lot of these words that you hear are good. But they're not all for you. Can you handle that? Can you handle that? Is it possible that something good can be shared with, by somebody, to somebody, but that may not be for you at this time? Is it possible for us to do everything that everybody says? No, it's not. I need to tell you this too. Over the course of my life in ministry, God has sometimes told me to buy a book, which I had no interest in, really, or maybe some limited interest, and sometimes some pretty high interest. But after I bought the book, I wasn't able to read it. I had to put it on a shelf, and my library got filled up with books I never read because they were not for this time. And then over the years, God would direct me to a book. He leads me with his eye, and he takes me to a book, and he says, "Now take that out and read that." The point I want to get to you is this. We must hear God for ourselves. We cannot listen to what God is saying to somebody else, regardless of how recognizable that person might be. We have to pay attention to what God says to us, because you don't tell all your children the same thing at the same time all the time. But you teach them individually and instruct them and lead them in the way they should go, because they're not all the same, and neither are all the congregations throughout this nation and throughout the world. Listen to me is what God is saying to you and to me. Listen to me. It's very important to listen to him. Everything that we do by faith comes by listening. Romans 10:17. Faith by listening, and listening by the word of God. Now, you will interpret that, if you're not careful, to mean that if you read the Bible, you'll get faith. It does not mean that. It means if you hear God, you will get faith. So sometimes you can read the Bible and it's just great information. And there are times that God will speak from the Word of God to you. And that's when your faith explodes. Isn't that true? So quoting the Bible isn't going to generate faith, but hearing God will. Abraham had no Bible. Noah had no Bible. Moses didn't have a Bible, but they did hear God. And the result is we have a great cloud of witnesses who walked in faith, generals of faith, who heard God. Now I want you to hear God today, because this is not a suggestion that some men came up with as a good idea, but something that God poured down upon us, and we heard it Wednesday night. So after Brenda had shared, several of the people who were in the prayer meeting began to say, "I've been hearing God tell me to fast. I've been hearing God tell me to fast." Can you imagine fasting during the holiday season? That's crazy. "I've been hearing God tell me to fast." And then we went back and looked at Nineveh. Nineveh fasted, and the power and presence of God came upon a complete, huge city. So we all became quiet, and we just rested in the presence of the Lord without any pressure other than to hear what God had to say to us about fasting. And as we were quiet, the Lord spoke. You know what he said? He said, "Fast one thing a day for 21 days, beginning Monday." He didn't tell me to do it. He told us to do it. And he told us to tell you to do it. This is not an option. This is not for a few. This is not for some people who are intercessors. This is for all of us. And so the question was, well, what should we fast? And of course, we all heard God say, "You fast what I show you to fast." Each day. It might be the same thing for 21 days. It might not. It could be food. It may not be food. But it will be something. Fast one thing a day for 21 days. You know what that brings us up to? Christmas Eve. And as we counted out the days, looking at the calendar, we said to ourselves, God is going to do something amazing through this fast. the fast may not be for us, but I know it will benefit us. It might be for others as well, that our fast will have an impact upon the whole church, a larger body of believers. It might have an impact on the lost. Right now, God is exposing sin. Is he not? How many of you read the papers or television or whatever and realize that God is exposing sin? And when he begins to expose sin, it quickens the hearts of people, believers and non-believers, to be aware that God is looking and that we might be exposed. And it causes the unrepentant, especially, to begin to want to repent and to clean things up with God. And it will cause the church to begin to fear the Lord. So I don't know how many of these things will be impacted by our fasting, but here's the one thing that he made it clear it will do. It will cause a blessing to come upon us. So I want to take you to Psalm 133. Please, in your bulletin, I wrote a synopsis of last week's teaching. I want you to take time to read this, and if you can, go on the website or get the CD. The only voice that will ever give you faith is the voice of the Lord. I have faith that what we're going to do is not just a religious act, but a response to a loving God who really cares for us, loves us, and says, please do this. Psalm 133 is a very short psalm, powerful psalm. Three verses. Verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, it says in other translations, blessings and life forevermore. Coming together and fasting together for 21 days is part of what it is to come together and dwell together in unity. So the first thing we should look at is this. God says, behold. Behold, take a look at this. And then there's imagery. He says it's good and it's pleasant for the brethren to gather together right now. We have an epidemic in the body of Christ of people who do not dwell together, who come and go as they please, and now there's this new philosophy that is not scriptural, that is not godly, that says this: I can belong to the universal church. I don't have to belong to a local church. I don't have to be under the government of elders and fivefold ministry. I don't need to go all the time. I don't have to. I could do what I want, whenever I want, including not go, not be a part, not give, not support, not live with the body of Christ. It is a rampant lie. It is destructive and contrary to everything that God wants us to do. You cannot be part of a universal church without being part of a local congregation gathered together. Is that clear? Do you agree with that, or do you find that to be, well, I'm not so sure? Come on, let me have an answer. Let me have an answer. We need an answer to this because it's fragmenting the body of Christ, and people are giving all kinds of reasons, including the Lord told them to leave. Or you can't get along with those people. I'm correcting people. You don't know the stream that I'm on Facebook, because mostly what I talk to is other apostles. I don't have much time for anything else. And the apostolic network that I belong to is dealing with this. And surprisingly, it's even crept into some of them who are saying things like, well, if these people are toxic, you got to leave them. No, no, and no, no. Come on, no and no. If they're toxic, they need healing. Yes. And if they're toxic, they're probably a whetstone for you. They're sharpening your life. We don't leave because we have issues with one another. We live together, work things out. What is toxic? We're all toxic to someone. So there I am telling them, no, you learn to forgive. No, you learn to reconcile. No, we go and restore. This is what love is all about. You can't build a body without love, because there'll always be an excuse for us not to gather together. Some reason. This is one of the things that the church is going through right now. And another reason that I want you to be aware of is because God is beginning to speak to other apostles about the one body of Christ. And so the enemy is out in full bloom to break down that oneness and to scatter God's people. So behold, how good it is for brethren to sit down, to remain. It's good and it's pleasant to be gathered together, to live as a unit, a one people. And then he says it's like the precious oil upon the head of Aaron. The anointing oil, which was made up of olive oil and other oils and perfumes, had an odor to it that was so powerful it could be smelled by a large number of people. And when they anointed Aaron, who was the first priest of the congregation of Israel, the anointing started at the top of his head, flowed down his beard, and went all through his body. This is a picture of the anointing of God upon the body of Christ. And every time God had a king or a priest anointed, the same thing would happen. They would take a ram's horn, big, full of oil, and pour it. I want you to see the picture of that. The anointing of God being poured down upon the body of Christ. And then he further gives another illustration of this anointing is like the dew from Mount Hermon. The winds at night would come along and pick up the snow that was on the mountain and lift it into the atmosphere and blow it across the other mountains and down into the valley. And that dew refreshed all the people, the land, the animals from the heat of the day. And that's what the anointing does. It refreshes, it cools, it heals, it restores. It's like fertilizer, brings life. That's what the anointing does. There's prosperity there. And then God commands a blessing. We don't have to chase it. There's no work in the New Testament. There's no steps you have to follow to get God to bless you. That turns out to be works. He wants one thing, us to dwell together, to love one another. He'll command a blessing. The great blessing will flow down upon us. The blessing will come through anointing through each of us, to each of us. It'll be powerful, liberating, refreshing, healing. We need that from each of us. Somebody invited us to go to another meeting yesterday. Said, oh, go to this meeting. Well, there's things going on there. Just touting it. I said, gee, thank you. I thought to myself, you should come to our meetings. But I didn't say that. Why? Because that's divisive. That's jealousy. That's competition. That's disunity. I don't like that. Do you like that? There was a wrong spirit behind it. It was as if they had something we didn't have. Do you know something? I'll tell you this. Every congregation of God, every representative body of Christ is a great body of Christ. There are no better bodies of Christ. How could there be if Christ is in that body? How could one be better than the other? Listen to me. How could one be better than another? Why do we compete with each other and destroy the work of God by running here and there? Why? What are we looking for? Yes, flesh, new, entertainment, better, not satisfied. The problem you're not satisfied is you're not being part of what God wants to do with you. You're not offering your life up to God. There is no better church. There is only one church. It has its blemishes, but it's a great church. And it exists in many, many congregations, all working out their salvation with fear and trembling. Right?
Yes.
But the one that you've been called into is the one that God wants you to commit to. Good, bad, indifferent, good times, bad times, hurt times, painful times, tear times, laugh times, love times, give times, receive times. All these times make up what we are. We can't escape that. That's how the body has developed. You get more development through the hurts of your life than you do through the good things in your life. I grow with pain. Do you know as the body grows, there's pain in it? You grow also by the support of one member to another, imparting the goodness that they have in their lives to you, the anointing of God to one another. Some of us are not flowing yet, but if you hear this word today, God will begin to anoint you in the gifts that he's placed in your life, and you'll begin to be a blessing. He will command blessing through you to others, and others will be a blessing to you as well. It'll flow down upon you. So, beginning tomorrow, when I got this word, who was at the prayer meeting Wednesday night? What happened when I heard this word? One fast, one thing a day for 21 days. What happened when I got this word? I screamed it. There was such a power on it that, and I knew it was God, that I literally screamed it. I almost jumped out of my seat. It was so powerful. So I'm telling you that because this is not something we dreamed up like, oh, it's a good idea. It's a great idea because it came from God.
Yes.
One thing a day for 21 days. I don't know what God will do, but I can tell you this. Obedience is a key here. Obedience is a key here. So we need to follow through with the Lord beginning tomorrow. So let's pray about this. Pray, first of all, that we can get this word out to those who are not here today. If you look around and see somebody missing that you know should hear this, will you contact them tonight? Will you tell them tonight? Tell your mom and dad. Tell your brothers, sisters. Tell them, please. Tell your husband, whoever it is. Tell them this is how important it is. Even tell those who haven't been coming regularly. Tell them. Because there's a blessing in it for them. So that we can all start tomorrow. We want to be on the same page. Heavenly Father, thank you for the pictures and the teachings that we have received this morning from Brenda's teaching about Jonah. Even when he didn't like what he was called to do, when he did it in obedience, blessings came. Help us overcome our dislikes that we might have regarding fasting right now. And bring us to such a surrender to you so that when other people are talking about all their Christmas programs, you can say, if they ask, yes, we have a Christmas program. God has called us to fast for the body. We're doing this in obedience to our Lord. Help us not to be afraid that we must be like everyone else or we're missing out or somebody has something better. God, forgive us for such childishness. Make us pay attention to what you say as a heavenly Father to us by your Spirit. Give us all the grace we need beginning tomorrow to fast that one thing each day for 21 days. We thank you for what you will do in us during that time, Lord. What you'll do with us during that time, Lord. What you'll do through us in that time, Lord. But most of all, we thank you for what your final intentions are for our fasting. If it amounts to nothing else than just giving us a test in obedience to you, that would be good enough. But we also see from Scripture that you want to bless. You want to bless us. You want to bless the whole body. And we believe, God, you want to heal this nation and bring in multitudes of people into your body of Christ. So we thank you for speaking to us. We're not better than others. We are just simply one of yours that you're speaking to. And we're honored that you speak to us and show us what to do. Tell us, guide us. We give you praise for that. One true God. One true God. One true God. One true God. And Lord, we know that this will not rob our joy, but rather increase our joy during this time. For we're doing the will of God. Jesus said, my joy is to do the will of God. And we will be joyful during this time. We'll not walk around with mournful faces. We'll not tell people that God called us to fast. We'll be happy that we have this privilege. We give you praise, God. We give you praise. And we're going to sing our hearts out to you now and give you the praise that you're entitled to. We bless you. We sing in the spirit, Lord. We worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. We hope that you're pleased with all that goes on here today. In the word, in song, prophecy, and whatever else you wish to activate in us. It's wonderful to gather together with you. Amen. Amen.
While the worship team's getting ready, I just wanted to encourage. Sometimes I've obeyed the activity of fasting, whatever it is, but I haven't replaced it with prayer. So nothing. Well, I'm sure some things change, but I just want to encourage and basically encourage myself as well that whatever that thing is that God speaks to you to give up, replace it with a godly activity, whether it's prayer or just listening to worship music or whatever it is, praying for somebody. If it's a meal, it takes us what? Well, it takes Mac a minute, but it takes general people about, or average people, 8 minutes, 10 minutes to eat a meal, 15 minutes. Replace it with prayer. So whatever it is, replace it with God activity.
Amen. We're an open book right now, God. Oh, we give it all. We're an open book right now, God. Oh, we give it all. We give it all. 21 days we give it all. We give it all. God, we're hungry more for you than holidays. God, we're hungry more for you than holidays. God, we're hungry more for you than holidays. So 21 days we give it all, we give it all. We surrender our hearts, our minds, our wills, our appetites. God, we surrender our hearts, our minds, our wills, and our appetites. 21 days with you, God. 21 days. 21 days with you, God. 21 days. Oh, come cleanse us, God, come cleanse us. God, come cleanse us in these 21 days with you. Spirit of repentance, I release you. Spirit of repentance, I release you. Spirit of repentance, I release you. Spirit of repentance, come and have your way. Spirit of repentance, come and have your way. Oh, I see a mighty work. Spirit of repentance, come and have your way in me. Oh, in me. Shine your light on those hidden things. Shine your light on those hidden things we've brushed underneath the carpet, God. Shine your light on those hidden things that we've brushed underneath the carpet. Come shine your light on those hidden things that we've brushed underneath the carpet. Oh God, we want you to come have your way. God, we want you, just come have your way. We yield, oh, this body yields. We yield, God, this body yields. We know that you are speaking. God, we believe in faith you are speaking. Oh, we receive in faith you are speaking. God, we obey. God, we believe in faith you are speaking. God, we obey. My heart says yes. My heart says yes. My heart says yes. Some of you need to say that right now. You need to tell him yes. You tell him that I obey. I'm going to obey you, God. My heart says yes to the fast. My heart says yes. My heart says yes. Though I don't understand, I say yes, 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 God, I say yes, I say yes, I say yes to your will. I say yes, I say yes, I say yes to your will, God. 21 days with my Father, 21 days, 21 days with your Father. 21 days, 21 days with your Father, 21 days.
Yesterday, somebody gave me Psalm 1, which is where your reference comes from. So I'm just going to read it, okay?
Amen.
This brother... We saw some people just, you know, kind of came into their pathways, and the Holy Spirit fell upon us, and we were talking and praying and prophesying, and this brother said, I see Psalm 1 for you. I see Psalm 1. That's just standing out, very strong. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. But the focus of this is what Louisa just shared. Those of us who meditate in the law of the Lord day and night shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Amen. Amen. Amen.